Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, we are getting close to Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Gets a little colder in the evenings. I just busted my eardrums.
Doing your ho, ho, ho?
No. It wasn't on when I did that. I think the sea and cold got me.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's the holiday season. Everybody's kind of getting things going.
But I caught the first of the show the other day. We were talking about being up in the mountains. Thanksgiving, you said Beach Mountain was going to open. All the mountain slopes were going to open December the 1st. I was listening to the show. I think it was like December the 2nd or 3rd, and it was a high of like 69 degrees in Charlotte, a low of 60. I didn't know how man-made snow would last
Did it?
I hope they're flowing. We're recording in during the week. I think this is the first full week of December, I think.
Yep.
And it's, you know, around 60 for the high. It's a little nipply at night, and I hope that translates into some good snow production up in the mountains.
Well, that too. I don't know if they actually opened. I was actually trying to look it up on my phone to see if they were able to get open for. It was December 2nd is when they're supposed to open, which is last week ago Saturday. So I'm not sure if it happened or not.
I want the mountains and the ski slopes of North Carolina and Virginia and West Virginia and Eastern Tennessee to have a wonderful ski season.
No, man. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, they are 100% driven by the weather. It's like being a farmer almost. So you got bad weather, you got bad snow, you got bad revenue.
Wonder if the government helps the ski slopes out like the during farmers a bad weather year.
We need to have somebody from Beach or Sugar on the show.
And I have farmers in the family, and I love farmers, and a bunch of my friends are farmers. I go to the farm show. Dad used to say, they don't want it to rain.
Come on.
They want that check.
Come on, Papa Ron. Don't be such a pessimist.
Man.
I can see him. I can feel the scowl coming down on us now.
They just acting like they're going to grow tobacco over there on that quarter acre. So they can get paid for that 9,999.75 acre.
No. Well, Hanukkah actually started on Thursday as well, so we are in the throes of the holiday season.
Hanukkah starts on Friday.
I thought it was the 7th, so it's the 8th.
It starts this coming Friday. We're recording a little before Friday, I think. So the show will air on Sunday, the first day of Hanukkah.
It was Friday. Okay, it was Friday. For some reason, I had Thursday in my brain, but you know.
So that's the holidays start kicking in. Ba-bam, ba-boom, ba-bom.
Yeah.
You know? And then we got our house all decorated up. We have perma mattresses on the living room floor, having a little party six nights a week. We got one of those little tabletop arcade games, and when we got it originally, we had it in the kitchen living room right beside the island, and it got played all the time.
Yeah.
Then we moved it down to my man cave where the pool table is and the dartboard. And people, you know, if we're hanging out with friends, we'll conglomerate down there, but it doesn't happen all the time.
What are you playing, like Mortal Kombat on that thing? What'd you
do? It's got like 60 games. You're playing like three or four different Miss Pac-Man, Junior Pac-Man, regular Pac-Man.
Gotcha.
Then you got Galaga, and then you got
Street Fighter.
Bot, and you got all kind of great games.
Pong. Did you say Pong?
Pong.
Pitfall.
You got something like that. It's got all kind of games. They don't all have the same name, I remember them as. But so Reagan said she was going to move it up for the Christmas season.
Yeah.
And it's been upstairs about 2 weeks now.
What's that Joker way?
And I'm terrible at these old games. But it's fun, you know? Gives you something to compete with your kids on and something for the family to gather around, and you can kind of do it while you're eating that sub sandwich or something.
Man, it's a lot different, the old Pac-Man versus, what, like Call of Duty all the guys are playing now these days. That's a whole different
game. Yeah,
gaming's
you know,
come a long way.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. The Haston family has taken the stance that we don't like video games, and Ford doesn't, at home, has never played a video game.
I got
so,
you.
So other than maybe on... actually, at home, he doesn't even get to play games on Reagan's phone. My phone's off limits. But when he gets Gigi and Grandma and Grammy, you know, they get their phone and download all these little games, which is cool.
So you don't.
I mean, I had a Game Boy, so you can't be too. When I was young, we never played on an iPhone. My kids are like, you're crazy. Reagan jumps in with them on me. I think she dropped the elbow on my head about 37 times yesterday.
Wow. I thought you had your head was looking a little bit black and blue.
Well,
there.
That's below par. I mean, we're rolling about 90 plus.
She's throwing the 90 plus bows at you, huh?
But we're in the middle of basketball season, so Rowan's playing, Piper's playing, and now Ford's playing for Belmont. Man, that new, if you haven't been to Belmont lately, East Belmont, go across the river on the Catawba, take a left on Catawba Avenue, East Belmont. There's a new facility there on your right. It's the city's city works part. They have a skate park, skateboard park. Mm. And, man, they have, I think there's 6 full court basketball courts in this gym, and they have the volleyball nets that come off the ceiling so you don't have to put them in the floor anymore.
Okay, cool.
That's pretty cool.
I haven't seen that before.
Legit.
Well, you and I were in Belmont yesterday, on Monday, if you're listening to this now.
I've been
with
to Belmont.
Our friends at Pulte and Del Webb.
Yeah, the new Del Webb community, groundbreaking.
Riverside. Yeah, wonderful.
Thought you were going to get our friends over there on the radio, but...
In due time.
Swing and miss.
In due time. In due time, maybe.
But no, it was cool, man.
That.
Belmont is beautiful. I'm a big advocate.
Yeah, a lot of growth down that way.
Great asset.
Yep.
All right, Patrick, tell us about our guest today.
Our guest today is you.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the history of Roby and all the things that make us what we are and where we came from. And
we had a
blocks.
Free day. We haven't had a free day in a while.
Couple
and
of years.
You wanted to do some hard-hitting interviewing with me.
I
think you know enough to ask good questions, so we'll see how it works. You're listening to At Home with Roby. I'll be back.
Patrick will be back. Yeah.
We're going to be here in the studio. Thanks for tuning in.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last segment, go back, check us out. You can podcast us. You can hit us on social media, all the spots.
Did I tell you we hired... a social media lady for the Roby family of companies about close to a year ago, Sarah Strauss.
You are literally trying to get murdered, I think, maybe.
I think she has done a great job.
She's done
so,
wonderful.
So you should see better updates. My neighbor, Billy Dang, showed me the other day that we're out on the market hiring on Facebook and stuff. I said, show me that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I don't get on that stuff too much, but I was intrigued.
I got you.
It was good. I got a bone to pick with you, too. When I was with Billy riding in my car, I got a call from Todd Hirschfeld.
Okay.
Hirschfeld Marketing Solutions, good friend, been on the radio, said it's about time. He's got some updates, wants to come back. Said he was catching us on the podcast last Saturday morning. Said your math about 10 minutes, 8, something about 4 times. The math that I got confused on about how you say service guy, you know, the... you were talking about at our town hall.
Mm-hmm.
He said he didn't follow you.
He didn't follow me.
If you saved 10, if you wanted to save, if you want your profit, your efficiency on time, we'll talk about that later. But I told him, he said, man, I didn't really follow Patrick's math. I said, you heard me. I don't typically give up. But I threw my hat in the bucket.
All right, I'll simplify this. It'll take me 5 seconds.
This is for you, Todd Hirschfeld.
8 hour workday, 60 minutes in an hour, so you have 480 minutes in a day.
Okay.
So if a business is trying to make 10% net income, 48 minutes of your workday is essentially profit to the business. So if you waste that 48 minutes. Essentially, you're
I understand that, but I think last time you said 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And the math didn't line up.
Maybe. Well, thanks for calling me out, Todd. I need to be set straight here.
I think he got his one-way ticket back to the studio. Way to go, Todd.
Well, before we get started, I'm going to give TJ some props for rocking his UGA gear.
What
the college football playoff committee has some explaining to do, and they didn't do it very well, in my opinion. How do you knock our ACC boys?
I don't understand how you go undefeated and you in the powerhouse school.
How does that happen?
They said because the quarterback got hurt. I think that's even more reason.
That is worse. They dug a deeper hole. That's not fair.
And I've watched a couple games lately, and their defense playing good. They hung in these games and scrapped and fought. And, you know, had me thinking, I was excited, actually became a fan of the underdog.
Yeah.
And was excited about rooting for them in the playoffs because I thought they would hang in the game and scrap it out, little first-year freshman.
Totally agree.
I mean, the fifth-year senior got hurt. I mean, I was rooting for that guy, Rodenhauer.
And then Jordan Travis.
And he got hurt, and the rookie with the mustache, I'm like, he's my dog, right, TJ? I shaved yesterday, kind of mustache, but still have a little side hair. TJ's all in on the mustache.
I'm sorry to take us on a tangent, but I agree.
But it's an example of America business. The underdog always gets knocked out unfair. You know, we'll see how they react. I enjoyed how the star quarterback, Travis, reacted. He said, well, heck, I should have got hurt earlier in the season. This team is number one.
Yeah, right.
And they done won out anyway. So why y'all penalizing us?
It's not fair. Do better, CFP.
It doesn't say – I mean, I disagree with the whole thing. It doesn't – I didn't realize it was so arbitrary, but it doesn't say margin of victory.
Doesn't say if your quarterback's healthy or not.
That's crazy.
Well, let's – we went on.
And I hate Texas.
Hey, I brought you on a tangent.
Mac Brown burnt down Carolina, you know, 2.5-3 decades ago with the Longhorns.
Yeah, y'all still – even though you got them back, y'all still bitter about that.
Well, now he's washed up. Goodness gracious, Mackie.
All right. Well, I threw gasoline onto a fire there, but that was not the intent of what we were going to talk about in segment two. We haven't done About Roby show in a long time, and I think there's no one better to tell the story than you and your brother and some others within the business. And so tell us, man. I mean, when did it start? How did it start? You know the story, but I think it's cool hearing it from you.
Did you hear me tell the story this morning?
No, I had to introduce myself and then leave, unfortunately.
We had a new hire breakfast today, and we do that about every 6 months. And
What'd you say?
I told this story. I didn't know what to say. They told me I had like a minute and a half to talk, so I talked 22 minutes.
Well, right now you got 4 minutes and 40 seconds in this segment. I think you can squeeze it in.
Yeah, I mean, started in 1950 by Andrew Robichek, Hungarian immigrant, I think, and shortened it to Roby to be Americanized. That was a thing when you had immigration and the country was growing. You know, it's a little different than it is today, 73 years later.
Yeah.
Hired my granddad as his first
number
employee.
Number one employee,
And
that was Glenn.
Glenn Haston. And he was his right-hand guy, and Leroy and the Mason were his third and fourth employees. I think Leroy was 15. He was Mason helper, and my granddad used to tell a story a couple weeks in. The Mason, they were digging out a big oak tree root in Myers Park, and the Mason wasn't working hard. And he rode by and said, you go home, and Leroy, you get in the truck. And Leroy virtually, as work goes, raised my dad and then raised me and my brother.
passed away a couple years ago. Leroy Oates.
Leroy Oates, who you talk about quite often on the show. I know he's really fond to your whole family, you and your brother especially. And then I know you know your dad, your uncle, and your whole family was very fond of Leroy.
And it was a one-man little remodeling company. I mean, they did windows and siding. I said this morning, I think that's when vinyl siding kind of started, technology kind of coming along. And I'm sure it was the greatest thing ever then, kind of like Hardy Board decades later.
Yeah.
And you know. So, my granddad helped Mr. Roby run this little company for a decade or so, and I think Mr. Roby in the 60s, I don't think they were that prosperous, just hardworking folks. And in the 60s, I think Mr. Roby figured out he had no lineage in his family, and the Hastings were going to be his exit strategy or what have you, to keep the name going. I don't really think it was a money thing. And they didn't have any money, so for bonuses that year, the legend goes that he gave Granddad a couple shares of
sweat
the
equity
company.
Yeah,
as the start of the progression. And then I think my dad came up. My dad served, Ron Hastings, served two tours in Vietnam. The story always goes, everybody used to talk about how hard of a worker my dad was in front of him and behind his back and everything. He served two tours on the front line in Vietnam. The story goes he served one of his brother's tours the second time. He got shot, Purple Heart, just a servant leader. But the story goes in high school he had work release and worked four jobs. I'm sure he worked for Roby some. He worked for McDividen Street. I remember that vividly, a big commercial construction company building big buildings. I think they've sold and changed names over the years.
Huh.
And he lived on McDonald Avenue, so he used to chase baseballs and sell popcorn and hot dogs at Crockett Park. Things I know that he did. But just always working and saving. And then when he came back from Vietnam, he married my mother, and him and my grandfather bought the business in the 76, I think, from Mr. Roby. And Dad's little brother Don was in the business at the time. I think at that time he was a teenager, young 20s, or actually young teens at that time, fair amount younger than my father. And then my dad ran the business through the 80s and 90s. And my granddad was still in the business. He passed away in 05. He was around till he got stomach cancer and went down pretty quick. He still came to office. I graduated Chapel Hill in 2000, joined the business full time. My brother had already come from East Carolina and was in the business in the late 90s, a year or two before me. And my dad was a servant leader and got out of the way and let us kind of grow the company during the 2000s. So, and God rest his soul, he passed away. He got lung cancer in 2012 and passed away at the end of 2014. I'm sorry. He passed away 9 years ago this December.
I always tell this story briefly before we go to break about your dad. Really, the first time I went visit a job site, we were over in Myers Park, and I didn't know your dad that well, and he was just laying into some flooring contractor. And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's no joke. I better have my P's and Q's in line, and just kind of peppering this guy. And he looked up at me and flashed his big grin. He was just messing with the guy. I had no idea. And just such a wonderful person. We got to go to break, man. I know you got a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, I'll tell some stories around that history when we return.
Stay with us.
You're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back. You can podcast us anywhere you can find a podcast, or find us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Really, really cool segment, last segment. You can listen to the part about how we think the college football playoff snubbed our ACC Seminoles, sorry, TJ, and your UGA Bulldogs. But the meat and potatoes of the last segment was really Trent taking us down memory lane of how Roby became Roby, Mr. Robicek, Andrew Robicek, Robicek, sorry, changed his name to Andrew Roby. Business started in 1950, and we were talking about when your dad took over, really. Essentially,
yeah, so I'll tell you something really cool. Number one, I think to be in business 73 years and to build a good reputation through the ups and downs and trials and tribulations, is similar to Florida State's story this year and the season they've had and the injuries. And it's cool. They've held their head high. Outwardly, it looks good. Is that some good leadership going on there? I'll tell you something cool. Andrew Roby, check. Andrew Roby's nephew, granddad used to tell this story. This is how I heard it and remember it. Was Dr. Francis Robichek.
Yeah.
And
world famous
heart surgeon, and started the Sanger Clinic, which put really, I mean, you see what's going on with our hospital now.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Carolina's Medical anymore.
Atrium.
It's Atrium.
Wasn't it like Memorial Hospital back then?
Memorial back a long time ago. But when he was coming, he was his nephew of Andrew Roby. When he was coming to the States for the first time, he flew to Douglas Airport, and Mr. Roby's granddad, you say, he says, Mr. Glenn, will you go pick up my nephew? He's going to be famous one day, be way richer than I'll ever even think about being. And that was Dr. Francis Robichek. Mm. I think he was like 21 or 22, came over here. I think he did the first heart transplant. I could be wrong about that, but definitely a forerunner in that industry,
yeah,
with the Sanger Clinic, put Charlotte Hospital, like I said, Atrium on the map. So that's a cool tidbit. I'll tell you a story. Some people know this. You know, inflation's coming. We talk about how you only know what you've lived through, and kids today don't understand inflation because they've always been in a very low inflation environment in the United States of America. It hasn't been that way over the world, but if you're only 30, 35, you never have had inflation. I mean, frankly, in my lifetime, as I'm aware, I was born in 78. I haven't really ever seen inflation.
Yeah, 82 for
and
me.
I'm 45, yeah. So everything, let's call it 50 and below's never understood what inflation, how it can deteriorate money. And my dad used to always tell me, growing up, how bad the 70s were. And you know, that's just kind of what I knew. And when I got into business in 2000, he got out of my way and let me lead and grow our business with this wonderful brand, and hard work that we have. And, he used to always try to temper my optimism and say, son, this is what he said. He said, son, you never lived in the 70s. You were born in 78. He said, we were poor in the 70s. We rubbed two nickels together and tried our best to buy the company from Mr. Roby. I think he did some owner financing, typically how small businesses are transacted, even through the history of time.
Sure.
The seller has some skin in the game and works with the buyer to help make them successful. Everybody thinks you sell a business, you're going to get a pile of money. Never happens that way. Really typically doesn't, especially in family, small, blue-collar businesses. And he said, we bought the business in 76. He said, in 77, 78, gas lines were a mile and a half long. It was, you know, the gas crisis. Heard about that. It goes cycle of time. It keeps going around. Interest rates were 18%. Mm-hmm. Nobody was spending any money. We had 5 employees. We were working one day a week to stay on the payroll so we could have health insurance for our families. He said, we were poor. Really poor. I guess you're working one day a week to pay health insurance, you poor.
Yeah.
He said, you grew up in the 80s. He said, Reagan come along, trickle-down economics, pretty good when you're a little small business. The way my dad always said, the wealthy people can make money if they're friendly enough to go spend it and hire people. Everybody seems to do a little better. He says, in the 80s, we were low middle class. You thought we were middle class. In the 90s, you were a teenager. You thought we were upper middle class, and we were just kind of maybe middle class at the low side. He said, you got out of college. He was so proud. He said, you went to Chapel Hill and hung out with all them rich kids.
And you went back to the business.
He said, then you come back to town. You got this mentality, all these other kids kind of
you
put
and your
on
brother.
You.
Yeah.
And he was proud that first generations in our family went to college. And he, you know, when you don't do it, you think it's the greatest thing ever. Now, you know, you question it at all turns. I have 5 kids, so you wonder what's best. And as a parent, you never know. Get on your knees and think about it. Talk to the man. But he said, in business, and you just all bull market 2000s after 9/11, you know, it was pretty good run there to 07, then the 08.
08, yeah.
And he said, we're going to have a 70s again. And Lord beknown, 2008, 2009 really got us. We had real hard times in 09, and we blew the whistle, went to the back of Greystone, met for 2 days. Very tough decisions were made, and in hindsight, it saved the business. The next day or two, Dad come into my office one afternoon about 6 or 7 o'clock and took his hat off. We were haggard. We were beat down, and he took his hat off and said, son, the 70s don't have anything on this.
I remember you saying that.
And that's a fact. And I tell people that I think that was the last time he criticized my optimism, which he liked. It just scared him. You want your children and your friends and your family to be optimistic and positive, but you also don't want to get them head into a idiot buzzsaw.
Right.
You want it to be tempered and logical. But I think I was a little less optimistic after that. I'm still a very optimistic person. I think y'all can hear that if you listen to the radio show.
Well, I remember you talking with one of our clients, and right when this happened, when the recession really took off, and I think it might have been late 07, early 08, and the client was like, I got to go. Y'all figured this kitchen remodel, the world's about to stop.
Oh, yeah, Tom Fink.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to say that. Yeah,
great guy.
Unbelievable guy. Great Tom's, guest.
He's been on the radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
He may have said that on the show.
We invest together. I mean, I thought we had this project. Everything was great. Roby's going to the moon. And we had met with Heather, his wife, multiple times. Felt so good about this project. I was helping train Brendan Hackett. I got in there and helped sell this big house renovation. And he said, man, he's looking as a blackberry. And he said, guys, I gotta, he wasn't paying attention to the thing we were saying. He said, I gotta go, the world's blowing up. And I was like, everything's great. I knew I should have been dealing with both the husband and wife the whole time. Anyway,
yeah.
Wonderful. They don't make people any better than that family.
No, you're right.
And 5 kids.
Well, yeah,
that are now grown.
And you and I recently went to a lunch with them for not Urban Ministry, good gosh, Roof Above. I'm sorry.
Roof Above.
Wonderful lunch. Yep.
Which Heather championed.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a table, took us, and we got to meet a couple of Heather's siblings. Great time. But the funny thing is, I think when I started looking at that job, Reagan was pregnant, and then we had Tatum, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you got 5 kids, I'm telling Heather, for 6 or 8 months leading up to this job. And I said, I want 5 kids. She's probably like, this guy's a true snake oil salesman. But I proved her wrong. And I'm putting words in her mouth. I say that to her sometimes, and she's never agreed that she thought I was just trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think she believed me and thought I really wanted 5 kids, Lord willing. So it's crazy. I mean, I talk a lot about how every day you live now at 45, everything's not so black and white and right and wrong, and it's hard, and every day, one more day is that much more stuff you see, and that it's an exponential amount of tread that goes on your tire every day you live. That's what I've enjoyed about life. And everything I used to throw stones at my good father and all these people in business and life and just living, why would they do that? Well, dang, I now understand. Life happens, and we're all human, and you make mistakes. Anyway, that's fun. Hopefully those are good stories, I might tell a couple more.
Let's pick up from 09, 10 on to where we are now.
Here we go.
Next segment. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last few segments, we're going down memory lane. Check us out, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, but anywhere you can find a podcast. This is fun, Trent. I'm having a good time.
I tell you, okay, so...
So we left off in 09 to 2010.
Couple Ronisms right quick. When I was an aspiring businessman, mogul, this small little family business I grew up in, one story is when I was coming up on my 14th birthday. When you're 14, you can work for a family construction business. My dad came to me and said, son, you got $1,000 in your savings account. You can work. You're about to be 14. My birthday was June the 6th, so it happened to be right before summer. He said, you can work any day. You don't have school, summer holidays, school vacations. You can't work. You can't work in the afternoons and replace extracurricular activities. I played sports. He said, but you don't have to play sports, but you will do something after school pertaining to education or social with school, which I like that. And so he said, however much money, I'm going to pay you minimum wage, which was $4.25 in 1992. 1992. He said, we're going to run it through payroll. He said, however much money, he said, anytime you don't have school, I'll find something for you to do. I don't know if he even had, I always had something for me to do. And he said, if you want to work overtime, I'll find something for you to do. Time and a half, man. Six 37.50 or something.
My first job was 14 at 1996, but it moved up to $6.15. So you make that 9.50, you were feeling like you were doing good.
Anyway, he said, when you turn 16, I'll buy you a car for how much money you have saved, but you can't touch your money that you have saved until you're 21. That's called a, quote, creation of a miser. Workaholic building. Anyway, so I had saved some money by the time I was 16, didn't realize. I became a workaholic, cutting yards in the neighborhood. Did a couple side jobs for some friends. Used the equipment that we had. Dad used to always say, "What that equipment costs if you're renting?" I'd get paid. I'd use the Bobcat for 2 days and gas, petrol, and never bill for that. He'd say, "You losing your butt, son." But he liked it. He was teaching me. That's what I remember, how to figure jobs. So anyway, I think that's kind of cool. And then another thing he used to always say. I'd say, "Man, I said, Dad, you a millionaire." And he said, "Son, I'll never make $1 million in my whole life if you add it all together." And I couldn't do the math. I was young and dumb and excited. And I said, this is when I was in high school, teenager, reading business books. And he just wanted me to understand that it isn't all about money. It's about finding happiness and finding achievement, really, contentment. And money helps, but so that's cool. So anyway, coming out of recession 2010-11, I think we hired David McGuire in 2008. You came along in 2010.
Yeah, September 2010.
And we were determined to diversify and grow the company besides just a historical customer modeler.
Yeah.
And we decided we would try to vertically integrate our customer that we've always served.
That's right. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we served. Dad, riding into town, Dad had three rules when I was a kid. We'd ride down 74, 277, he'd point at the city, say, "Son, three rules. Number one, we owe our livelihood to Hugh McCall. He built that city. That's why we have opportunity to serve people, because of the banking industry. Number two, Hugh McCall wouldn't have been able to build the city without the airport, without our international airport. Jerry Orr built the airport. Dictator ran the airport. Hail to Jerry." And then number three, our royal family, he said this with complete reverence, the whole thing, is the Close family, and our crown prince is Derek Close. Derek Close is probably a teenager in his low 20s. Springs Industries, what a wonderful asset south of our city, really helped our city, Fort Mill, that whole all of South Carolina, really, and Lower Charlotte. Thank you all. But that was the thing, man. So vertically integrate that customer, that decision maker that we've been so blessed to serve, and be the best service provider. I used to always say, when I was trying to sell a job to a banker or something, I'd say, they say, "Who's your competitor?" And they expect I was going to say another contractor.
The barber.
I'd say, "You." And they say, "Huh?" And they get all mad, bow up at me. And I'd say, "Man," I say, "What do you do for a living?" They say, "I manage to do these deals, put these deals together." I say, "Okay. Well, if you don't return calls, you don't get the deal done."
That's the nucleus of the Roby family of companies is that customer, whether it's commercial, plumbing, electrical, mechanical, realty, all the things, that's the nucleus. That's the hub.
So this person, they have multiple houses. They take care of their kids. They help their kids. They incubate their kids along the way. The kids kind of see who they like to do business with.
Influencers in the community, yeah.
They run businesses. They make business buying decisions on the business properties, the commercial properties, industrial properties, and then they invest in stuff. So it's like, hey, we're not going anywhere. That was kind of always our reputation. Like, we're really good people. We're really hard workers. We don't always get it right, but we're always going to be there to do it right.
That's right.
And I tried to change that, and I hurt some feelings when I was a bull in a china shop. I said, we don't always get it right, but we're always proactively spending money and effort to get it better the first time, was kind of the evolution of that. And I think we do a good job of it. So you're a key part of that, Patrick. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful partner, wonderful friend.
Thanks for letting me be a part.
Yeah, so that's what I live by. I hope it was educational. I'm sure a lot of y'all who are my friends and listen to the show have heard some of these stories, but be fresh on your mind next time I see you. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face, and happy holidays. Take care.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.